You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week we're here talking about another Fast and Furious film, this time Fast Five, to continue our Munch Fast Week. And with us, another extension of the Munch family, we have none other than Nate.
Hey, glad to be here, everybody. I have not seen very many of the Fast and Furious movies, but super excited to be participating with you guys.
And Talk about a radio voice.
Yeah, right?
He just like launched into that and was like, perfection.
Nate was the voice of a lot of demo videos that we recorded at work.
Okay.
And he was, for a while, you were referred to as the voice of Volumetrics. So maybe that should have been your intro. Like, I am Nate.
And you may know me from my Volo demo videos.
It's true. The benefit was that I had everything written down at the time. So I'll be much less eloquent. Okay.
All right. You're just going to have to ride that voice a little more. Like, forget about what you sound like or what you're saying, but more what you sound like.
Will do. Will do.
All right, but back to Fast Week. This is our fourth film we've watched, correct?
That is correct.
Yes, because we skipped Tokyo Drift.
And we're reaching basically the high points of the series. It just gets better from here.
Movies are getting longer, stunts are getting longer, music is getting better.
Yeah, we've reached what I was talking about earlier, where stunts start having three acts. It's not just the stunt, but there's like the stunt, and then the stunt on top of a stunt, and then, oh, there was a little sleight of hand in that stunt, and later you find out there's more to the stunt than you thought there was.
This is also the point in the series where we switch from straight street racing to heist movies.
Yes. A huge tonal shift for the movie and the franchise as itself, like, it takes on a very different feel and role at this point. Like, so much so that, like, they almost completely forget what street races are in a weird way. And just like, you already know that. You already saw four movies of that. Let's get to what you actually want, which is the heists and this kind of Ocean's 11 style setup.
The Italian Job.
Yep. All of that.
Are you guys happy with that evolution? You're the experts, I would say.
I am. I like it better.
Not to say I don't like the street racing bit. Like, I think that's definitely a lot of fun, but the movies definitely find their heart and their place once they move to that heist format. Like, it was always kind of there. And when you think back to the Fast and the Furious, like, the excitement is when they are trying to catch the semis themselves and not necessarily the racing bits. Like, it's nice to see them be talented drivers, but the excitement comes around, like, them using their skills as drivers to ultimately get the goods.
True, but I do feel like when you realize what makes the Fast and Furious universe different from the real world, you really need to see the street races to appreciate it. And the street races have a certain prominence in, like, the industry and the economy of the Fast and Furious world. And so it was weird not seeing it have as big of a role in this movie. And there's, like, specifically, there's one scene where you think Brian O'Connor and Dominic Toretto are about to enter a street race, and then it just cuts to when they've already won, and you don't see it happen. Yeah. And we watched the extended version, so
had an opportunity.
Yeah, they just totally didn't do it, so.
And I think they, like, notice that and then correct for it in Fast and Furious 6, which we'll get to. But
Later today.
Yeah, there's at least a little more of that in there. But let's dive into the film itself, and let's dive into our one bit called The Fast and Furious Moments Delivered Fast and Furiously. Who wants to start this out? Nate has at least listened to one of the episodes, so he knows.
I have.
All about this.
I have.
I don't know. I don't have mine yet. Someone
you don't have your first.
I can kick it off. Okay. Should I do both?
Yeah, do both in a row and then move on to someone else.
Yeah, I can follow you up.
Okay, I have two Furious moments, so I'm just going to go with my gut and pick one fast and furiously. I'm going to pick the moment where Dom burns the money. Mm-hmm. So they decide that they're going to steal like $100 million from this guy. And part of their plan involves Dominic Toretto just burning a bunch of money in front of people to basically scare the owner of that money into moving his other money into one place. And it's a strategic move, but the way he does it is so furious and so badass that that is going to be my furious moment. And then my fastest moment is during the planning for the heist of the money, they mock up a track and they are practicing completing the track in enough time that the cars don't get caught on camera.
Was that the official terminology, mock-up?
He said mock it up. Yeah. That's, I wrote it down because I thought it was so great. Because it was so casual, like, hey, you, go mock up the track. And then a few scenes later, it's there.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah, so Giselle is the one who's doing the track at the time, and she's slaying.
Yes.
Because it's Giselle.
Yes.
And there's a great moment where Han just turns, I think, to Roman, and he's like, I think I'm in love. And it was perfect.
I think he just kind of like reminisces on the moment. Like, I don't think he says it to anyone specifically. He just kind of says it to the
world. He says it to the audience.
Yeah. And you all feel it. Like, you all feel like the natural like pull between those two characters. Yeah. So that was my fast moment.
Those are really good. And I think that calls back to kind of what my fast moment was going to be. I'm going to change it now. But my first fast moment was, hey, basically just whenever Giselle is either driving or on a motorcycle.
She's so badass. Like,
that's her fast moment. And it's so great. But my actual fast moment is going to be the police bus heist at the very beginning of the scene when they get Dom out of the bus. Because it's a quick moment in which you see Mia actually behind the wheel of a car and she interacts with the heist itself, the ultimate goods being Vin Diesel. And it's so quick, it's so snappy, but it just shows just how kind of buttoned up they are as a team. And as for my furious moment, I have to go with the fight between Dom and Hobbs. That is a very furious moment. Two big burly men just going at it.
One sweatier than the other.
A lot.
God, the look on their faces, like the look on Vin Diesel's face was pure fury. Just so angry.
I think he was angry because Hobbs just got his best shirt like soaked.
Yeah. It's like when you have to, did you guys play basketball? Did anyone play basketball in high school?
Yes, sure.
Okay. When you have to guard, like, the sweaty guy and he's just covered in cold sweat.
It's not much
it's
fun.
It's so bad.
Like, you have that one worst part of basketball. That one hand on their back just because you have to, like, keep that distance.
Yeah.
But, like, every time you put your hand there, it's just, like,
yeah,
it's like a little, kind of a little sticky. It's just,
yeah,
like,
thanks for that image and auditory terrible representation. Hey, I feel like I'm there.
Oh,
that's every that's moment around Hobbs. Yeah. You don't even need to touch him and you get that sensation.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a hot sweater or a cold sweater? Like, if you rubbed against him, do you think it would be like a cold sweat?
I think it'd be hot.
Yeah.
Super hot.
Yeah. I think you guys are right.
Yeah. Hobbs runs pure hot steam. But yeah, that's my furious moment.
Okay, my fast moment has got to be during the train heist when they rob the train and then Paul Walker runs. Yeah, it was Paul Walker runs a car into the train, is stuck on the side of the train. Vin Diesel drives next to him. Paul jumps onto the car. They go over the cliff. They jump out of the car, like everything. They're just reacting in the moment, like no time to think, just time to do. And they're also both making the same decisions at the same time. And they're like perfectly in sync. It's the only thing they could do. And they both know it. And it's awesome.
It's like a fucking dance.
Yeah, it is. Oh, God, it's perfect. And then my most furious moment, I had it. Oh, yeah. It was a weird one. It was when Dominic had his NOS and he's pulling the safe at the end of the movie by himself and making a note of knocking every single cop off the road. Like, he murdered probably 30 or 40 cops. And, like, if we even say 75% of the police force in Brazil is crooked, that's still, like, four or five honest cops who were just trying to take down a criminal who had blown up the police station.
I believe, like, there's a very specific line in the film that says, every crooked cop is on your tail right now.
Yeah, they covered their bases.
They covered their bases,
Andre. Don't worry. You don't
think they were, like, all crooked cops.
Yeah. You don't think there was one cop who, like, was just in the station?
No, he wasn't there.
Okay, he wasn't there.
They vetted every cop.
Yeah, they knew.
Do you see this playing out, this same type of covering your tracks in other films?
That's a great question.
I don't think this was the one with the most collateral damage.
Yeah, no, the body count in this movie was insane.
Huge. Yes.
It's skyrocketed.
It has to be one of the largest.
Yeah.
I think of the whole franchise.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking to Seven, and there's just nothing to this extent.
Also, like, Jordana Brewster just says, you guys just took out a bank. Like, there were people in there just taking money out of their checking account.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
every moment when there's a scene of the safe just, like, hurtling around a corner and you see a single person between where the cars are and where the safe is and then just the, like, taut line between those two objects, I'm like, oh, their legs are going to get cut off.
No,
their legs are going to get cut off.
But the movie actually, I think...
They were all crooked. Everyone on the sidewalks that day was
they
crooked.
They would show those people running and just, like, narrowly escaping. Yes, so I think it was meant to imply that, like, they actually did not kill any civilians.
But I feel like there's
only crooked cops.
There are moments where there's, like, no way they would be able to get out in those moments.
Have faith, you are not wrong.
They're...
But the Toretto
family are good people.
Back to that moment, it felt like he was on a murderous rampage. Like, he was intentionally running every single cop off the road.
That did feel pretty
It was furious.
It is very furious.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Okay. Those were my moments.
All right, Nate, we left you with the hardest job.
The scraps.
I've had mine from the beginning. From the moment I saw them, I knew these were my moments.
Okay.
I do furious or fast first?
Whatever you want. Whatever you pick.
Yeah.
I'll go chronologically. So the furiousness that I saw... took place in the scene where, towards the beginning, where our beloved main characters are running away, like, from the people, like, both crews.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, Dwayne Johnson's crew.
The rooftop parkour.
Oh, yeah.
The parkour rooftop. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the favela. So, there's a scene where, I think Dom is protecting the Brazilian agent, right? Or parole
Elena.
Officer, right?
Yeah.
And four dudes from Dwayne Johnson's team are up on a roof and they just fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like fucking Scarface, man.
That was a lot.
It was a lot.
Moment. Yeah.
It was a brutal moment.
It was a long time. Like, they were shooting dead bodies for sure.
Yeah. That was furious. And that was like 10 people just dropped to the ground.
Yeah. That...
And they show them shooting, they cut away, they go back, they're still shooting.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, geez, come on now.
It's overkill.
Yeah. These are machine guns. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty furious.
That's a good furious moment.
Yeah. Fast, I don't know, super cliche. I think it's, we went into this movie expecting, I think, Shannon, my wife, who also watched it with us, but can't be here, also... just thought that there would be more races were represented in the first two films. And so when we had the four cop cars and doing that race, I thought it was fantastic.
That was a really good race.
Yeah.
It was simple, also
well choreographed. And, like, there's also that nice moment where at the very end, they're almost all tied. And, like, you feel good, like, hey, they're all very good at what they do, but ultimately one has to win.
They're the best of the best.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile.
I think they also, like, specifically mentioned that it's a quarter mile. And so I appreciate that because it's a really good setup to the sixth movie, which we're watching next. Because the race scene takes several minutes, and there's no way that those cars going that fast.
They might actually not be good racers. I mean, like, it took them like 4 minutes to do a quarter mile race.
They're only going 30 miles per hour.
Yeah.
I mean, this is for sure a Fast and Furious cliche at this point. Like, right. Think back to the very first Fast and Furious, and even though they're going like hyper speed,
this is actually the first movie that did not, during a race scene, show the inside of the car as part of the
like that CGI moment.
Yeah, that CGI moment, and they also didn't do the warp speed blurring on the outside. They dropped those special effects.
That was lacking.
Yeah. Right,
I missed that. I do miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to talk to you. So you have the story that so many Fast and Furious non-fans have.
I do.
Where they watched the first two and they lost interest. And I always tell those people, you should watch Fast 5. Because that's when it, like, completely changes.
We finally convinced someone.
Okay, so what is it like? Has that been good advice?
I love this.
Yeah.
That's good. Super, super entertaining. Like, not just, like, visual candy, but, like... Yeah.
Although it was definitely that.
It was absolutely that.
That's a great term, by the way.
There's also, I'm benefited by this group, though, because you have the context and you were able to aid me on. But I think by listening to this podcast, that's all you need to do in order to...
Oh, man, look at that.
Just listen to him. Everyone who is not currently listening to this podcast.
It's really good.
It sells itself.
And if you had a similar experience, please write a review.
Yeah.
We would love that.
Rate, comment, and subscribe.
Save our Bluths.
What?
That's just what it feels like. That episode of Arrested Development where it's like breaking the third wall and they're telling everyone save our Bluths.
Yes, I got it. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. They keep asking the audience to tell their friends to watch this show.
This bit's gone on too long.
That's good. I wish that was still on Netflix.
Yes, and, Liana. Yes, and.
I know, sorry. Andre and I have a bad habit of shutting each other down.
Maybe that that's itself, true. In and of itself, is a bit, though.
Yeah, maybe.
There's something fun there. All right. Let's move on to our next sponsored bit, sponsored by Corona. Thank you. If I knew the tagline for Corona, I would add it in here, but I clearly do not. So in about 3 seconds, we are all going to, at the same time, say the number of Coronas that were counted over the course of Fast Five, which may come as a surprise to everyone listening, but the number of Coronas was...
Zero.
I just don't think they imported to Brazil. I just don't think they do it.
Yeah, because they didn't have them in four either.
Does it come back in six?
I thought there were some in four. I thought there were six in four.
There were, but not when they were in...
Not when they were in Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
It's got to be just like a North American thing in Mexico.
Yeah.
Right?
Where does four take place?
Between California and Mexico.
And partially in the
that
DR.
Should be prime. Yeah.
They do have six.
They have six crimes.
Yeah.
But it's a very brief scene.
But compared to the first movie, which had 21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two had none.
Two had Pepsi.
This isn't the first time we've had zero Coronas.
Two also didn't have Dominic Toretto.
And Dom is the main,
true.
Patriot.
Corona fan. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he is. He has this line in the first movie where he's like, you can have any beer you want as long as it's a Corona. When he has him over to a party. It's a good line.
I have an answer.
What?
One Quora.com user asked the question, why isn't Corona beer sold in Brazil?
Boom.
And
asking the real questions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Together with the answer of, I'm going to leave this person's name out, about protectionism in Brazil that places huge taxes on imports is the fact that Corona is only produced in Mexico. And we don't need to talk about it anymore.
Okay, but so there it is.
They were trying to confirm accurate.
Well, it'll be interesting to see to see if they have Corona in 6, because 6 has kind of an international setting.
Predominantly London, though, right?
Yeah.
Am I forgetting?
That is correct.
I wonder how much a Corona costs in London, because that has to go across the ocean. 4 pounds?
Yeah.
At least.
Roughly.
Yeah.
it almost like you sounds like you have experience with this, Liana.
I don't. But speaking of Corona, and speaking of Dominic Toretto, do you know what time it is?
I think it's Liana's Terminator Corner.
Oh, the music?
Yeah.
Every time. Every time, Nacho.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Blanco. Boop, 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 boop. Blanco.
Boop, 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 boop.
You guys are terrible.
That was really good.
Yours was good. I'm getting a little tired of Blanco.
I'm not.
All right.
I love that song.
Welcome to Liana's Terminator Corner. This is the segment of our show where I bring forth evidence that Dominic Toretto is, in fact, a Terminator. I can't believe I'm actually still doing this because we kind of cracked the whole case open with the second movie where we found Skynet, but we'll keep going anyway because there's some pretty good evidence in this film. So I'm just going to go ahead and say the biggest one right off the bat. There's a scene where they are trying to take steal some cars that are inside of a train. And Dominic Toretto gets in a fight with someone, and the guy has a crowbar, and he literally hits Dominic in the forearm with this crowbar, and instead of breaking his arm, you just hear a clink, and Dominic just
like
keeps...
Like a metal on metal.
Like a metal on metal clink, and Dom just, like, keeps fighting, like, keeps going. If that's not yet another smoking gun, I don't know what is. But just in case you aren't convinced, at the very beginning of the movie, when they, I think we've mentioned it earlier, there's a bus heist. The bus actually flips over about 8 times. The top of it just kind of crumples and is ripped apart. And yet Dominic looks fine the next time we see him. Like, he doesn't have a scar.
No broken bones.
No broken bones. He's all good.
Never. Not a scratch.
Not a scratch. The next one, after the train heist, Brian and Dom get caught, and they are being held by their arms with a kind of, like, you know, when people are, like, their arms above their heads, like, hanging, and it's held by handcuffs, and at one point, Dom just rips his hands apart, like, doesn't break his wrists or anything, and just keeps going. That would, like, I know for a fact that would break a normal man's wrist, because there was a police officer that came to my school as part of the DARE program, and he told us that that could happen. So I'm somewhat of an expert.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Program is just pure quality, so.
And then my last one is that there were a number of scenes in this movie where Dom has a level of precision that a human just can't have. We mentioned there's a scene where he is dragging the safe and just manages to knock every single police officer off the bridge with that safe. I think if this were, if they admitted that this was actually a Terminator movie, you would actually see the Terminator vision where the screen grows red and it does all the, like, calculations and kind of, like, the trajectories. Yeah, exactly. So, that concludes my evidence for today, but I feel like it's a pretty strong batch of new clues.
The facts are just stacking up.
Well, okay, we gotta ask the guest, Nate, how convinced are you that Dominic Toretto, how much was
Percentage wise. Yeah, between percentage 0 wise. And 100%. 100% being like,
Terminator's in the title.
He is,
and,
yeah, or it should be in the title.
And if you
Fast
can.
9 is not gonna be F9, it's just gonna be Fast and the Furious, the Terminator.
It's gonna be like Terminator 7.
The Fast and the Terminator.
Yeah, the Fast
and the Furious Terminator.
Yeah. That's good.
But if you could give us a percentage before you watch this film and then a percentage now, that would really help. Like, tell us how.
Again, I had admitted earlier that I have not seen the entire Terminator series. However, I do have a basic understanding of the badassness of Terminators. So, Dom portrays probably a solid 68% right now.
68?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
I think that's pretty high.
Yeah, it is. That's we'll see bad. Where you're at after 6.
He's superhuman, for sure.
Yeah, I only got your sister to a 25%.
Yeah.
So, well, like, Dominic wasn't in that movie, so it's kind of hard to convince her that he was a Terminator.
So maybe that
so
was
that was a win.
25%,
that's really good.
Yeah.
That's a huge win.
I think
how certain are you that a character in this movie wasn't a Terminator, and you got her to 25?
That was bad.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I'm going to quit my job and just be an investigative journalist. I think that's my calling.
You're going to hang up your Microsoft hat and put on your tinfoil hat and start trying to convince people that the Terminator is Dominic Toretto?
Yeah, can you live with that?
Yeah, sure.
So supportive.
Such a supportive couple.
Yeah, I try my best.
You too.
Like Giselle and Han.
Yeah, basically, like Giselle and Han. Normally, at this point, we would have, like, a welcome to the family or a dearly departed. Oh, we do have one dearly departed. I forgot.
Yeah.
So no welcome to the family. We've kind of reached a point.
I'm sorry. I have a couple welcomes to the family.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I guess so. You're right. You are not wrong.
I know what you're thinking.
Yes, you're not wrong.
I think I know who you're
It just
about.
Doesn't, like, feel like it in this one. I think it's the only thing, but yes, you are completely right.
So we're talking about Hobbs, a.k.a. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He does make his big Fast and Furious premiere in this movie. He's on the opposing team because he's still part of, like, some special forces police agency. I don't actually know which one he's a part of. Do they even say? I don't know.
They can act internationally, so...
Yeah.
They show at the very end, in the after credits sequence, they show the location of where he's at, and I'm assuming that...
I think it's a made-up agency. But anyway, he's in this film. He's tracking down...
Is the H-O-B-B.
He's tracking down the family, because in this movie, Dominic and company are wanted people. Oh, go ahead.
The DSA?
Department.
So it is a made-up agency.
Department of Special...
Agents.
Oh, sorry, DSS.
Department of Special... Oh, I don't know.
Just need one more S.
Sons of bitches.
Diplomatic Security Service.
Surface?
Diplomatic?
Service.
Diplomatic.
Yeah, their diplomacy is through guns.
Yeah.
They have a strict gun diplomacy.
Okay, anyway, we're getting too deep into this. The point is that Dwayne The Rock Johnson makes his appearance in this film. And the reason why I think he deserves to be welcomed to the family is because at the end, he chooses to join forces with the people that he's been searching for the whole time. And he lets them go, gives them 24 hours to get away.
He rides with them.
Yeah,
he
rides with
them. He breaks into the police station.
He helps with the heist. So I'm going to welcome him to the family. And I also think...
Oh, quick question. Can anyone name some of his nicknames?
Hobbs. I'm drawing up a blank.
There's four.
What?
Yeah.
Named in this movie?
Not all in this movie.
Okay. All right. Hit him rapid fire. Let's hear him.
Wyatt Earp, the Hulk, Captain America, and the Samoan Thor.
I did not hear him called any of those names. They called him, like, an American cowboy.
They did call him that.
That's the only thing they called him in this
movie. I like that the translation for American, or the word that they say is just gringo.
Okay.
But they translate that to American cowboy.
American cowboy.
Which I think is probably, like,
it's just fitting.
Okay, and then I also want to, submit Elena, played by Elsa Pataky.
Yes.
She's great. Yeah, she's fantastic. She's handpicked to be Hobbs' right-hand woman in this film. And she also goes rogue and helps the greater family to complete the heist. And at the very end of the movie, she's actually seen holding hands with Dominic and coming to visit Mia and Brian, and it looks like Mia's probably due pretty soon to have her baby, who I also think we should welcome to the family, baby O'Connor Toretto.
Can you do that yet?
He hasn't been born yet.
That's true.
That's a seven kind of deal.
No, it's six.
It definitely happens in six.
It happens in six.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's...
Spoilers. Sorry, Nate.
We can't welcome them to the family.
Okay.
Welcome them to the family just yet.
That's true. Okay.
But yeah, welcome to the family.
Elena,
thank you.
And Hobbs.
Yeah. Elena, thank you for remembering that.
I got you.
But I think we have one dearly departed. We have to lay him to rest. He had a very tumultuous and bumpy relationship within the Fast and Furious franchise. Kind of a rough start. Always played like a little bit of that, like, villain kind of the family, despite being within the family itself.
Yeah, like an antagonist of sorts.
Yeah. But like
a shithead.
But ultimately has some redeeming qualities and like finds his moment in this film itself.
Yeah, he redeems himself in this film. It's nice to see him have a redemption.
And the person we were talking about is indeed Vince.
The man who always wears two tank tops.
Well, the mesh died off before Vince did. He did not bring the mesh.
Sick top. Burn.
Yeah. He didn't bring it.
And he didn't have his leather bands.
Yeah.
He lost
those. He grew up a bit once he had a kid.
Yeah. Who he named after Dominic. He named him, but his nickname, instead of being Dom, was Nico.
Nico, yeah.
It's a good name. Like, yeah. it refers enough to Dom's full name that, like, it's referential while not being too blatant.
Yeah. Is there anything else to talk about?
Dad Watch.
Dad Watch. Who was the dad in this movie?
I think Hobbs. We all know who the dad was.
Yeah,
it's got to be Hobbs.
Like, it's totally Hobbs.
He has those dad jokes, like... He also plays...
He specifically says the word thunderwear.
Yeah, he does.
That's as soon as he said that, I think we all looked at each other and we were like, Dad! It's Dad!
He plays a little bit of a cooler dad than our previous dads have.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Definitely.
Like, yeah.
But his arms are no doubt way bigger.
Oh, yes. Like...
Yeah, he's a ripped dad.
He's the dad all the other dads are scared of on the block.
Oh, yeah.
That's so true.
He's definitely a cool dad in that he drops, like, a lot of really bad jokes, but we forgive those because, like, for the most part, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a quick Dwayne the Dad Johnson. Dwayne.
Thank you, Dwayne the Dad Johnson, for joining us on this journey. But yeah, Dad Watch continues, which just really quickly is just, hey, in every Fast and Furious, there's a dad. There's always a dad.
You can tell.
There's just one.
There's really just one.
I mean, you don't count
Dom's
Dom.
A patriarch, but yeah. Like...
Yes.
Dom's the godfather.
Okay, you don't count opinion. Dom.
Yeah.
Yeah, we decided that in this film, that he's separate from Dad Watch. He's exempt.
And with that, I think we're gonna call it here. Thank you.
To go watch Six.
Yeah,
we're doing a doubleheader today.
Yeah,
doubleheader. But yeah, thank you for joining us on this podcast in which we talked about Fast Five, the surprisingly violent entry into the Fast and Furious universe. We are Munch. You can find our content at getmunchedup.com. We are also on Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, and Facebook, all of which are just Get Munched Up. Also, we are on Mastodon. Not that we post to Mastodon, but we are on Mastodon.
We're sitting on Mastodon.
We got that Mastodon Munch.
I tried to make a Mastodon account, and it just wasn't working.
It wasn't working? That's because it's so hot right now. It's popping off.
I don't understand it. Everyone's, I don't get it.
It's basically just like...
It's Twitter, but it's split up into like 100 different
factions. Well, it's taking off the tweet... Like, if you've ever used TweetDeck, Mastodon is, like, second nature.
Okay, I haven't. Okay.
It's basically TweetDeck.
It doesn't feel like second nature because they still haven't sent me my confirmation email. So I'm still waiting to sign up on that one.
Still waiting.
I got Andre. I got the username Andre.
Oh, that's perfect.
So I was looking for that confirmation email for, like, a week now, and I haven't gotten it.
Have you checked your junk mail?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it was also weird because you have to sign up at, like, xyz.social.net.
Okay, so,
like open source.
We're not going to troubleshoot this live on the podcast.
I'll give back to you.
No, this is good content.
Is it?
This is all good content.
I think it'll be good content if, by the next episode, Andre's gotten the confirmation email. Yeah. Like, I want to give the listeners some closure.
I have a feeling by the next episode, it's an arc.
It's like a season-long arc.
Okay.
Can I get my Mastodon account up and running?
Nate, thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on, and we're also excited that you're going to be on the next episode.
We'll see listeners, how many whiskeys I drink.
Yeah.
Well, we're all a couple deep.
Yeah.
We'll be a couple more deep by the end of the next film. This has been another episode. Please rate, comment, and subscribe to our podcast. It helps us incredibly. It's like one of the easiest ways you can help us directly. And with that, please send us emails at getmunchedup@gmail.com, and hey, have a good day.